Well, on Monday was my day off. I was painting the front of our house, and I had an earworm going through my head all day long. You know, an earworm is one of those tunes, usually quite annoying tunes. Maybe not this one. I'm looking at Richard right now. Usually quite annoying tunes that you cannot get out of your head. It's involuntary. It's there and you can't get it out of your head. And the particular tune that's been going around in my head, I might need Richard to help me on this. It goes like this. Larry
and Bert.
Larry
and Bert.
Larry and Bert's news report. And it's been going round and round in my head all week. And Monday I was decorating the outside of the house, and throughout the week I've just been adding to that in the spare hours that I've had. And this tune has been going around in my head. Sometimes for you it's something like that Baby Shark song, or one of those songs. It goes round and round. It's involuntary. Often we want to get rid of it, but it's happening anyway. As I was thinking about that, it sort of reminded me of Romans 7, where Paul speaks about the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, I do. And in a sense, he's saying, involuntarily, I do stuff wrong. And I think we can see this on the screen, can we, Richard? This is where all the technicians have to swap around. There we go. This is Paul writing in Romans chapter 7. He says, I don't really understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing I hate. Shall we go to the next one? I know perfectly well that what I am doing is wrong, and my bad conscience shows that I agree that the law is good. One more slide. But I can't help myself, because it's sin inside me that makes me do these evil things. And Paul writes there about something that he does, that he, you know, doesn't want to do. I don't want to do it, but I do it anyway. And even without trying, we often end up in a place doing things that we don't want to do. And as I was thinking about that, I was really challenged, because we often begin to worship other things than God, and it's not voluntarily, it's involuntary, it just happens somehow. And suddenly we find that our attention is focused on something which is not God. Suddenly we find that we've made something bigger than God in our lives. And I think those of you that have been Christians for a while will know that we have to continually be refocusing our attention on God, because we get so easily distracted. And as I thought about that, I thought that there are several things. I've got a few things here that are classic examples of how we get distracted. The first one is ourselves. We become like self-obsessed. We've substituted the worship of God for worship of ourself. We become the center of our own universe. We put ourselves first, and we expect others to put us first as well. As I was thinking, I remembered King Saul, who's a good example of this. When David came, Goliath's coming and challenging the people of Israel to fight, send out a champion. And David comes and says, I can go. And Saul, his first response is, look, here, wear my armor. When I was a little kid, I thought that meant, oh, Saul's just being kind to him because he wants him to wear his armor to protect him. But as I've understood a bit more, and particularly as I began to understand some of the culture of the time, I realized that in fact what was happening is that if David was wearing Saul's armor, Saul would get the credit when he won, because Saul's armor was distinctive. The king's armor was decorated so that everyone could see that it was at the king. And so when Saul is trying to get him to wear his armor, what he's doing is he's saying, I want to get the credit for this if David wins. And later, of course, we see when David has won, has beaten Goliath, the people start to sing about him, and they sing, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And Saul gets upset because David is getting the credit, not him. And too often, that's how we are. We want to get the credit. We want to get the attention. We want to get the plaudits. And yet Paul says this in Philippians chapter 2. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Think of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And then he goes on to say, Jesus humbled himself to death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. So often we get distracted by self, our worship of self. Obviously, another distraction, another involuntary thing that is what we worship is other people. Sometimes that might be our family around us. Often in our culture today, it's celebrities or sportsmen, famous people. We're making something else into God. We're making someone else into God. Have you made another into God? You give your time and your energy to follow them. If somebody says something bad about them, you rise to their defense quickly because you have made them into something which they should not be. In the early part of Romans, Paul again talks about this, and he says we have stopped worshiping the Creator, and we've started to worship the created things. We stopped worshiping the Creator and started to worship the created things. How easy is that for us to do? Another example that we can easily fall into is service, worshiping of service. And this is a little bit difficult to identify because actually we look at somebody and see them doing stuff for other people and we say, that's great, that's really good, well done. And it's laudable, it's a virtue. But here's the problem, when it becomes more important, when our service becomes more important than the person we're serving. Mary and Martha are the classic example of that. We've spoken about them quite a lot recently in church. Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his teaching, whereas Martha's in the kitchen preparing food and complaining about her sisters not doing what she should be doing. She should be helping get stuff ready. And for her, service, and here the service of Jesus, is more important than listening to Jesus himself. She's worshipping service rather than worshipping Jesus. And as church leaders, you know, it's hard for us to challenge those things because if we let those people get on with it, lots of things get done. If people like to serve and we let them serve, lots of stuff is happening because they're busy doing things. But I just want to draw our attention to say, don't let service become more important than the one you're serving. And the last thing that I'm going to talk about this morning that can distract us is this. Religion itself can distract us from the worship of God. People often use religion to replace the worship of God. Religion is doing a series of practice, whatever that might be, to please God. Here's a series of rules. If you follow them, you'll reach heaven, or you'll reach paradise, or you'll reach nirvana, or whatever particular religion we're talking about. And all of it is follow this set of rules to find a way to God. The Apostle Paul was an example of that in the Bible. He was zealous for the Jewish religion. He was standing up for it. We read that he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was keeping the law like no other. And he was traveling from place to place. And he was persecuting Christians, imprisoning them, killing them, because he thought that they were a threat to his Jewish faith. And yet one day, everything changed at one moment. And this is what happened. He met Jesus. On the road to Damascus, he's riding his horse and suddenly a revelation of Jesus. Suddenly he sees the one who he's persecuting. And he says, "Who are you, Lord?" His life was changed from that moment. And here's the key to all that I'm talking about this morning. The way to remove an earworm, one of those annoying songs in your head, is to get a better song in your head, is to get a song in your head that you want to listen to. And the way to get the fake stuff out of our life, the things that we worship that are other stuff, is to worship the real thing. is to focus our attention on Jesus. We used to sing a song, didn't we? Turn your eyes on Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. When we focus our attention on Jesus, we start to lose the other stuff. The other stuff becomes less important. Paul went from being obsessed with the Jewish law to being obsessed with Jesus. He says this, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. His attention went from being keeping the law, keeping the rules set by the Jewish religion, to focusing his attention on Jesus, focusing his attention. For me to live is Christ. You know, if we worship the wrong thing, it will let us down. I was watching an old episode of Grand Designs a couple of days ago. I like to watch Grand Designs. And there was a guy on there who had built his dream house. And then 2 years later, his dream house was no longer his dream house, so he was selling it and he was building a new house. And I thought to myself, that's a classic example of, you know, what we dream of, it becomes, what we worship, it begins to let us down unless it's Jesus, unless it is the real thing. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. In a moment, we're going to sing a song together, King of Kings, Majesty, God of heaven living in me. And as we sing that, we're going to be declaring, my knee will bow before you. I'm just going to bow myself before you, Jesus. And as we do that, we're saying, you are the number one in my life. Jesus, I declare that you are my Lord and I'm following you. So we're going to sing King of Kings, Majesty.